This past week, we started a new member class, and we always ask two questions during the first session. The one question is, so how did you hear about Risen Savior? And the second one is, so what do you like about Risen Savior? So the answer to the second one, what do you like about Risen Savior? A solid 75% said that we're warm and friendly. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. And once I hunt down that other 25%, it's sure to go up. No, that's awesome. That a majority sense what I know that all of us want. We want this to be a warm, caring, welcoming congregation. That's why we've been spending the last few weeks talking about hospitality of all things. Who knew that the scripture was so full of teaching about hospitality? But as we've seen, it is. And we're talking about radical hospitality, not radical as an extremist, but radical simply means it has a different source, it has a different root, and that source for us is the love of God that is found in Jesus. So what we've been using as our definition is this: radical hospitality, different from the ordinary or expected because it is rooted in Christ. That's the differentiator. It's rooted in Christ. So we finish things up today. We're going to take a look at Peter's first letter. In his first letter, when he is sort of bringing that to a close, he brings up, of all things, hospitality. The three things I believe that we can find in there is this: hospitality is a priority, it's shown by all, and it brings glory to God. This seems to be a theme also. Hospitality is a priority. We see it throughout the scriptures. It takes a higher and higher priority. So it is here with Peter. Let's take a look at just the first two words of verse 8. He says, above all. Now, if you're listening to this letter being read, that means stop, hold on. Above everything else that I've told you, I want you to pay attention to this. Let's get a little bit of context here. Peter's writing a letter to a group of Christians who are under what I'd call light persecution, if there is such a thing as light persecution. It means they weren't being killed yet for their faith, right? But there was tremendous pressure being put on them. What happened is the folks came to faith in Jesus, and in coming to faith in Jesus, it changed them. They had a different attitude, they had a different outlook, they had a different behavior in their life. So their friends and their community didn't understand. They're like, why aren't y'all partying with us every weekend? How come you're not doing the same things that you used to do? Why is it now that you're different somehow? And that turned into animosity towards the whole group. So now it wasn't that they just didn't understand, they didn't like it. And so they started treating them pretty harshly. So Peter writes this letter to encourage them and to give them instructions. How is it that you can live in such a situation? Which, by the way, isn't much different than the situation we're in today. Being a Christian is not really a popular thing. There's increasing pressure put upon us because we are different and we do behave differently. So Peter is writing to us just as much as he was writing to them. So now in chapter 4, he's concluding his letter, right? So when he's concluding, he says, now in conclusion, above all else. Okay, what has he got to say? This must be pretty important. Well, he says two things, and the second one flows from the first one. The first one, he says, above all else, love one another. Let's take a look at all of verse 8. It says, above all else, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Right? So he says, keep loving one another. So they've been showing love to one another, but constantly be showing love to one another, and do so earnestly, do so diligently. And the kind of love he's talking about here is called agape love. That's an unconditional love. That means that regardless of whether the other person reciprocates or not, you still love them. Now, only God can have perfect agape love, because God loves you no matter what. If you turn against him, God's still going to love you. You run away from him, God's still going to love you. That's agape love. And now, they, having been called to faith, you and I being called to faith, we can also have agape love to a certain degree towards other people. And so that's what he's saying. So show love to one another the same way in which God loved you, now love other people. And then he says something which at first glance seems strange. He says, since love covers a multitude of sin. Now, what does that mean? Well, I can tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, well, if I love other people, that'll make up for all the bad stuff that I did, right? That's not how it works with God. The only way that we make up for the bad stuff we do is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can be forgiven. So what's he talking about here? He's saying that love, this agape love, covers a multitude of sins. In other words, if you've got agape love for someone, you can forgive them. Even if they've been mean and hateful to you, if it's true agape love, you can forgive them, cover a multitude of sins. And the person that's been forgiven, or the person that you're showing love to, this kind of love is pretty powerful, and it can impact their life as well. Imagine if somebody insults you. Imagine if somebody is rude to you. Imagine if somebody is cruel to you, and you still demonstrate agape love towards them. That's a pretty powerful statement that can be in their lives, right? Covers over a multitude of sins, all right? So Peter says, I'm wrapping things up here. Above all else, I want you to love one another earnestly. And then the second thing he says is show hospitality. Take a look at verse 9, all right? So above all, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. What? Really? Hospitality bubbles up to the top? He's writing to a group of Christians that are under persecution, all the stuff that they're dealing with, right? All the pressure that's there. And the top two things is love one another and show hospitality to one another. Yep, that's what he pulls up, right? These are the top things. Now, the first one, love one another, I could have seen that one coming. Yeah, sure. Hospitality, I never saw that coming. But it's that important. It takes a priority. And it says, without grumbling. In other words, sincere hospitality, right? It can't be just going through the motions. It can't just be saying the script, right? Welcome to Risen Savior, right? No, it has to be heartfelt. It has to be meaningful, right? Why? Because it's rooted in Christ. That's why. This hospitality is rooted in Christ. If we've loved by God through his son Jesus, now we show that kind of love to others. So, yes, it takes a top priority. It's also, you might see, a theme in Jesus' ministry. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that Jesus showed extreme hospitality by washing the feet of the disciples, right? Now, this week, we hear about the parable about the Good Samaritan. Now, to your average Jew back then, that was an oxymoron because Jews didn't like Samaritans. So you can imagine the shock of the hearers when Jesus is telling the story. This guy gets beat up by robbers. One passes by, another passes by, and then a Samaritan helps him? Unexpected, out of the ordinary. He takes care of the man, loads him up, makes sure that he's all setting it in. Cares for his wound, has compassion on him. Sounds to me like he's showing great hospitality to him. And how does Jesus end the whole thing? You go and do likewise. We're supposed to go and do likewise. So above all else, love one another and show hospitality. So that means hospitality is shown by all people, right? Let's take a look. We'll go on to verse 10. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Notice that he says, as each has received a gift. He didn't say, not to those of you who have been gifted by God. No, he says, all of you have been gifted by God. Each and every one of you, you've been gifted by God in some special and unique way. He says, now steward that. In other words, manage it well, right? Capitalize on it. Fully utilize it. And what is it utilized for? Showing love to one another and showing hospitality. So discover what your gift is and then use that gift to show love and hospitality. Now, if you don't know what your giftedness is in God, just really quickly, for me, it comes down to three questions. You answer three questions. You may have heard me say this before, but I think it's helpful, right? There's all kinds of ways you can look for your spiritual gifts, but I put it this way. Number one, what are you good at? What comes naturally to you? Now, this is a little bit tricky because if it comes naturally to you, you're not going to think it's a gift. You're going to think, well, everybody can do this. Well, what is something that not everybody can do, not everybody's good at, but it comes real easy for you? Of all those things that come naturally to you, what do you like to do? So which of those things that come naturally you really enjoy doing? You have a great deal of satisfaction in doing them, right? And then thirdly, what do other people compliment you on? What do other people come and say, boy, I wish I could do that. Boy, I really, really appreciate the way that you accomplish that, right? Whatever the common denominator is there, you come at it naturally, you're good at it, you like doing it, and other people notice it, I'm guessing that's your gift. You're going to be pretty close to what spiritual gift that you have. Now, Peter says, be a good steward of it. And specifically here, to show love for one another and to show hospitality, right? Now, some folks, they have the gift of hospitality, so it's easy for them. You probably know someone who has the gift of hospitality. When you walk into their house, all of a sudden it becomes your home. You just feel at ease, you feel comfortable, you feel welcome there, right? But not everyone has that gift. But every gift can be used. Every gift can be stewarded, right? Maybe your gift is that of mercy. And you're just a great listening ear. Do you know how many people need somebody just to listen to them? Just to be empathetic, right? Maybe your gift isn't even more close. Maybe your gift is more in leadership and in organization. Okay, so you're the behind-the-scenes person. You're the ones that gets it organized so that other people are successful. You see where I'm going with this? Whatever your gift is, put on your thinking cap. Now, how is it that I can utilize that gift in, above all else, loving one another and showing hospitality? But you're not left on your own in using that gift, because then Peter says, and then just rely upon the power and strength of God. Let's continue on. So he says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So whatever we do, right, we do that through the power and strength of God. So whoever speaks, it's as if God is speaking through them. So that when we greet one another, when we show love to one another, we show hospitality to one another, right? Our words are like the oracles of God. They're like God speaking to the people. Now, I've heard plenty of people say, I never know what to say. Various situations, whether somebody is sick or they've lost a loved one, or just even on a Sunday morning, right? I don't go up to people because I don't know what to say. Right? This is what I say. Whatever you say, even if the words come bumbling out, if they're said with sincerity and true caring and compassion, the words don't matter. The words are secondary. When people can sense that you truly care, that you truly value them, the words are secondary, and God will take care of the rest. God's Spirit is there. He says, rely on the power and strength of God. God would never ask you to do something and not equip you to get it done. He'd never call upon you to use your gift unless he empowered you so that that gift can be successful. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't step out of your comfort zone. Because if you're doing everything and it's all easy, how much are you really relying on the strength and power of God? Honestly, it's just you. So that might mean you got to step out in faith and you got to step out of your comfort zone a little bit and utilize that gift. And then you see the strength and the power of God as it comes through, right? So everyone has hospitality to be shown by all. This is what I know. What I know is that God has the right gifts right here, right now, risen Savior, for us to show radical hospitality, to go above and beyond even what we're doing right now, right? And I know that every one of you can be part of that. For some of you right now, God is knocking on your heart and he's calling you into action. All of a sudden, you're going to pick up that card that's in your bulletin and say, you know what? I'm going to go see what this is all about. I'm going to join the team formal. Others of you, that's not what you're going to do, but you know what? Every one of you can flash a smile. Every one of you can have a warm handshake. Every one of you can introduce yourself to somebody else, right? Hospitality is shown by all. And then here's the kicker. Hospitality brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. Listen to how he wraps this all up, right? So above all else, love one another and show hospitality. So in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That God would be glorified through what we do of loving one another and showing hospitality. How does that work? It works this way. When we show God's love to another person, when we welcome them and we're warm and inviting, we're just reflecting God's love in our lives. That brings glory to God. It doesn't shine the light on us. It shines the light on him, and it brings him glory. So that if folks come among us and they have a good experience and they feel the love of God, that brings glory to him. Hospitality. Who knew? Who knew Scripture was so full of teaching on hospitality, but yet there it is, but not just any kind of hospitality, radical hospitality, hospitality that is rooted in Christ, that as we've experienced the love of God through Jesus, now we share that love with everyone that we come in contact with. God says it's a priority. He says that he's equipped his people with the gifts necessary, and that he's going to empower us to do that. And the really cool thing is, when we do, we bring glory to God. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, amazing that you would use us as part of your ministry, as part of building up your kingdom. We pray that we would rely upon your power and your strength, and that we would continue to love one another and show hospitality. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.